Hi there, and welcome again to this podcast and to this space as I herald again from my backyard. There's two stories I want to share today, and the stories are things, they're little ways in to maybe how everything goes. And some of our best stories are that, right? Like there's a story, they're a story about one thing, but really they're a story about, you know, how we see ourselves or how we see others or our relationships. And so I've been learning that. And so there's two things that I kind of wanted to put forward. And one of them, I'm coaching my kiddos, like baby water polo team. So it's called Splash Ball, and it's like the beginning to water polo. As part of the coaching experience, there's like 20 plus kids, and we meet twice a week for an hour. And we meet actually at San Clemente High School, at our high school pool, and the very pool that I grew up swimming in and playing water polo in. And it is so trippy to be back there. I have like lived like body muscle memory. Like my first 25 yard no breather I did in that pool, and my first swim meet, and then being on the high school water polo team or the high school swim team, and the pool deck like itself, I feel like holds a lot of my memory or essence. There's just so many hours logged on this pool deck. There's something about the smell of it, like the chlorine. It feels like a homecoming. My friend's house growing up smelled like laundry, and that always smelled so good and comforting to me. And so her house and then the pool deck and the chlorine, they just kind of bring me back. So I've been on this backwards journey, if you will. I've been on the pool deck with my three kids. So my oldest is helping me coach. My youngest is in the pool doing splash ball, while my middle kiddo is at his own practice in the same pool. So it's just like, I feel like I'm inhabiting multiple versions of myself simultaneously. So there's like 8-year-old me swimming in this pool and like 15-year-old me. I can remember doing summer school and having water polo practice. And so having to like go to practice, change in the locker room and walk over to like health class or something. So I'm like all of that, plus now I'm like mom and I'm on this pool deck with my kids, and you know, I'm just kind of in it, and in it in a way that I'm like, I appreciate the beauty because I can pause and I can, the opportunity to be in the same geography affords me opportunity to reflect and to remember and to welcome home. Okay, so if you also live near a place that you grew up or you visit there sometimes and you think like, wow, remember when? And I get to just kind of collect those memories or collect those experiences. I get to remember and I get to be like, wow, like I survived that, or I made it through that, or that isn't a question for me anymore. You know, a resounding question for me growing up was just like, does anyone like see me? I felt very invisible and sad, honestly. So I felt sad and alone, and there's like this now, I feel like I can answer like that. I can see myself. I can befriend myself. I have healthy relationships where I feel seen and known and nurtured. And so the questions are just so different now. So I'm so grateful that those earlier questions, they've found resolution in my bones and in my living through. But back to the point of the story. As I'm coaching, I'm standing on the side of the pool deck. So I have like an aerial view, okay, of the practice going on. So from the pool deck, I can see down and I can see all the different kids and where they're at. I can see the play of the game. It's like a bird watching the game. It's very different than when I used to be in the pool and be the player, and all I could see was from where I was, right? I could see how I wanted to pass or what angle I had to shoot. I could see my teammates, like, but I was at a different perspective. And now I'm in this new one. And there's a kiddo who's on the team, and I'm just going to call him Davey, okay? So Davey's on the team, And Davy, like, wants the ball. So Davy's determined. He's one of the youngest kids out there. And, I mean, you can feel the electricity in his body when he shows up on the pool deck. Like, he's just like, rah! You know, like, he just wants it badly. Everyone approaches the pool deck a little differently. Some kind of, like, are shy to put their cap on, or, like, don't want to make a ton of eye contact, or only want to be with their buddy. And, you know, we can learn so much just by watching the way we approach a new experience. But Davy is, like, here for it. And being on, like, the shorter side, it's hard for him to touch the bottom of the pool. So it's harder for him, arguably, than, like, the other players who are a little older, a little better swimmers. But that doesn't, like, discourage him at all. So I love watching the, I want this, you know, I want that. And he'll say that, coach, like, hey, like, coach, pass me the ball, you know, like, he is just amped up and ready to go. But when it does not come to Davy, when the ball doesn't come to him, it is like the end of the world. Like, he just can't believe it, and he just feels like no one's throwing him the ball. Like, it's like, and he's right, you know? So he's so pissed, and his whole body is, like, wrought with that tension of, like, trying so hard and wanting it so bad, and then just being totally overlooked, right? So I'm watching this go down. I'm watching players begin to learn the fundamentals of passing to each other and moving the ball down the field. And it's so neat to watch it. And there's Davy, who's just, like, screaming at the top of his lungs, like, hoping the ball's going to come to him, and it's not. And so he, like, swam off the other day. And so I, like, let my older son actually finish coaching the match. And then I talked to Davy and I asked him, or I didn't actually have to ask. He just started telling me, like, he's so pissed because no one's been handing him the ball. And from where he is in the pool, he is 100% accurate. No one is looking at him. No one is passing him the ball. No one is listening to him. Like, he's 100% accurate. He sees it right. This is what's happening. He is unheard. He is unseen. Doesn't feel like he's a part of the team. He's not in the action. It's not working. It's all accurate. But now, from where I stand at this aerial perspective, right on top of the pool deck, I can see down. I can see where everyone is and where they're supposed to be. And I can see that Davy is, like, not at all in a position where anyone would pass to him. So he's so far outside of the field of play, to pass the ball to him would be like to pass the ball backwards, right? And he's so small and so young still that his screaming is not totally heard above the splash and all the other kids and their noise and focus. And he doesn't get into the middle of the pool where the appropriate pass would be played. So from where I am standing, I'm like, of course no one's passing you the ball, Davy. Like, because you're staying at half court. Because you're not actually getting in the game. Because you just want the ball over here on the side, but you're not willing to actually get into the middle. Like, that's where people are moving the ball. Or you're not willing to get into a good position where someone's going to want to pass it to you. So if you want the ball to be passed to you, you're going to need to scoot up a little bit. Like, you're going to need to change your position on things. So simultaneously, I am also right. The way I see it is also accurate. I understand why no one's I wouldn't pass him the ball. I mean, I would because I'm, like, the nice coach, right? But I'm, as a teammate, I'm like, I'm not passing the ball to him. So at the same time, in the same pool, the same play, there's two totally right and contradicting experiences happening. The way that Davy sees it is so right on, and the way that I see it is also so right on, and they're both simultaneously true. And I have no, like, solution in my mind in regards to, like, how this pl- plays out metaphorically, other than I've felt like Davy, other than I have felt so locked into my perspective and the way that I see it, that there's clearly no other way to see it. Where I have and I'm right. You know what I mean? I'm right and I'm locked in it. And so I was thinking about that, like this need for someone else, or this need from a higher perspective, or this need for someone to like say, oh, well, what, like, yes, you're right. And have you tried, you know, tried from up here? So I asked him to stand next to me, you know, I asked him to stand next to me on the pool deck to see if he could see it differently. And sometimes taking a different perspective, you can see the game from a different, you know, way. You see what the point is and the flow and the direction and all of that. You have to get out of your position. And so, obviously, you know where this goes for you or for your own life or what this brings up in you. But I just keep thinking about that so real struggle and that like so real tension of wanting something to happen so badly for you and not knowing at all that you have everything to do with why it's not happening. And this like need for perspective, whether that be from God or from a parent or a friend or even in therapy when we would take another seat. So to role play or to set something up psychodramatically or experientially where we can have, like you could put things as objects in those places or people in those places and then step out of your own drama or pool and see it from another perspective, right? And so I just, these concepts are just floating through my mind as I'm there wanting to help bring a little softer of an edge, a little more fluid role taking. Like I wonder what changes when we get to, like when I get to pull Davy up out of the pool and say, hey, check it out from here. Now where do you want to be in the pool? Now where should you call for the pass from? And maybe learn someone on the team's name. So that way you can say, hey, pass me the ball. So I'm going to practice today and I'm curious to see how he's doing and how the game goes, literally for him. And then I also just keep thinking about like the ways in which I think I've got things fixed in my mind, you know, like the way I'm like so committed to my perspective. You know, I wonder what other perspectives there are. I wonder how that person sees it from where they are, whether that be a relationship or a political climate. You know, whether that be parenting, my goodness, man, I'm just thinking about that right now, just through the lens of parenting, like how my children see our lived experience and how I see it, how they experience me versus how I experience me, you know, and how we can be totally exactly right and opposing at the exact same time. And how do we exchange our experiences and believe each other, you know, without leaving ourselves. So that's the first quandary. That's the first, like, something I just want. I don't know. I'm thinking about, and because this is now my backyard podcast, I just felt like journaling it here with you too. So feel free just to take that concept and be with it for a while. And think about, are you sometimes Davy? Are you sometimes the coach? Or, you know, just think about it. I mean, the other story is about my oldest son, Isaac. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're in this stage of elementary school where I have one son learning how to play the recorder. Bless me and bless my household. Why the recorder? I mean, I know, I get it. People can learn it, all right, whatever. But I'm also like, I want to break it. I look at it and I'm like, and if it went missing and no one could practice, would that be the worst thing? So I've got one son learning the recorder and the other son who's been practicing for honors orchestra. So he's a part of this ensemble where he has to learn these three specific songs, and they've been gearing up for months, extra practices at some far-off elementary school during the week, where I'm like, cool, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to take you there. And yes, okay, I'm saying this tongue in cheek, but like truly, I'm like, damn, dude, I can't believe you can read music on your own and play all these instruments and you're doing all these incredible things and it's like self-led. And so of course I'm going to get you to your practice. And my ears. Okay. I have been listening to Isaac learn these three songs on the viola, and it has been, you know, I'm delighted as a parent because I'm like, wow, like, look at you doing this thing. You were a tiny being inside of my body, and now you are playing the viola. So there's a bit of like, whoa, this is so cool. And there's another part of me that's like, oh my God, please stop the music. No, I can't hear this song one more time. Or I can't hear that segment of that song one more time. And who let this happen? Judge me all you want. This is just exactly how it is, all right? There are days where I'm like, I think now's a good time to take the dog for a walk. My ears hurt as a result of Honors Orchestra Ensemble. And this weekend, we had the final concert. So all of that practicing got to be funneled in to this giant experience at this huge auditorium. And this is the part that blew me away. I wasn't hearing the whole song. Okay. So Isaac plays one instrument in one part of an orchestra. I don't know enough about how those things are put together to be able to tell you what the other seats are. But I was hearing only his portion. And on Saturday, during the thing, the performance, there was context and there were deeper sounds and higher sounds and things that like rounded out the music where I'm like, oh, I get it. Right. This is okay. And it was beautiful. Like it was like everywhere that was like sharp or like, oh, my ear's bleeding. Because the whole band wasn't there, you know, like it could never sound the way it was supposed to. When he plays on his own, like it was truly like irksome. And now on Saturday, hearing all the songs with all the parts. And again, this comes from a non-musical human being who's like trying to just gather, like just, I'm just paying attention to my, like my ears. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know it was the same song. It sounded so different when every instrument was involved. When everyone showed up to play, it was totally different music and it was stunning. And not just because, you know, I'm listening to my own kid play, because obviously during the week that was not my experience. So getting to hear it in context, getting to hear it in the larger scope of things, getting to hear it the way that whoever wrote this song had in mind. The idea that it was like larger than his individual piece. And again, as I'm sitting in that auditorium, I'm like, there is something here for me too. There's some learning here in regards to the need to belong and to offering each of our own individual unique sounds with gusto. Even if it sounds kind of off when it's on our own, this is funny, as I'm sitting here right now, sometimes when I record this podcast or these thoughts, I'm like, I feel like maybe how it felt to hear Isaac's sound, where it's like, dude, I don't know if this is the way it should be. That is my sound. And if I can offer it into the larger context of my life or your life or the sound that you make or that like the other women on Radical Wellness make, or the sounds of maybe even previous versions of me make, then it kind of comes together with a sense of beauty and like, aha. And there's like this made for community, made for the orchestra kind of essence, where it's like, right, I think maybe my sound can sound sharp if it's not in context, or it can sound lacking because it needs the rest of my life or your life or the rest of the experiences for it to make sense, to be found. So when he continues to practice whatever instrument comes next, I will be mindful of that, of the role, the unique role he plays in that orchestra, and how imperative it is to offer our sound. Like that even he did not know the fullness of what it was going to sound like until it all came together, and it did. So I'm wondering about that for myself too, as I'm in this in-between land of like, I don't know where my orchestra is. You know, I don't know where I will end up belonging. But I do know this, my sound, and maybe that's enough for now. So I'm like, I'm in this space of like, gosh, I applied for a job, you guys. I applied for a teaching job. And I'm like, oh, I hope I get it. And maybe I'll find resonance there. Maybe I'll find a sense of like, yeah, this is where it is. And I don't know, maybe not. So I am continuing to be curious about where my instrument belongs, where my sound should be found, and what kind of work I'll find myself doing again. But I will be like, continue to practice the art, the music, regardless. So those are my thoughts and my stories for this week. The determined Davy and the and the musical instrument of Isaac. I hope that these stories illuminate something for you, even if it's curiosity, or even if it's just like to pass the time. You got to listen for a little bit today while you did something else. But as always, I hope that any story opens you up to your story, and that you find some softness and some curiosity and some play and a sense of belonging to yourself and to your life, and that we could like live into the other side of like, oh, that's what it sounds like. And oh, those questions are different now. And cool, I'm here now. And then get to enjoy the gift of the other side. Okay. I'm going to go pick up my kids from school. I hope you have a good day. Cheers.